Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Darlings, it's Mummy, Sybil Brunchen, yes, indeed, on Come Now, Don't Sulk. It's a live podcast, can you imagine? A live podcast going all around the world, all around the world. We're in every time zone. We're in both hemispheres. People could be listening to us at the North Pole and the South Pole and even Akron, Ohio. Isn't that exciting? Yes, I am Sybil Brunchen, and I'm here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we're here as part of the Here Be Monsters studio. Come Now, Don't Sulk is part of that wonderful studio, and we're here with our producer and our wonderful muse, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Why, I'm wonderful. It's fall, it's crisp, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm queer. It's coming out day.
Kind of here, kind of queer. That's Charlie. Remember that perfume with Bobby Shore would go, kind of now, kind of wow, Charlie. Well, kind of here, kind of queer. That's Gwynny.
Oh, my gosh. And oh, my God.
God rest
that.
His soul. Yes, remember that, kind of now, Charlie.
I was a baby.
Anyway, I was a perfume counter girl. I want to tell everyone that Gwendolyn is not only our producer and our muse, but she is also the founder of our sponsor every week. That's daughtersofisis.com, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. We're brought to you by them every week and by listeners just like you at home. Thank you. Gwendolyn is the genius, sorceress, head chemist, brilliant fragranceologist over at daughtersofisis.com. And every week, well, first of all, we both want to apologize. We haven't been on the air in like, 3 years. I don't know. It was one thing of travel and work and health crisis and then romance and recipes that backfired and then technical problems and everything. And of course, Mercury in retrograde, which has been appalling. Last week we were on the air, but Gwendolyn was on, but for Port St. Lucie in Florida, but couldn't get in. So she could hear our podcast, but she couldn't join in. So Mummy was broadcasting from just outside of Philly, which is where I am now, in our studio here. And Wayne Johnson was coming to you from Baltimore, or Annapolis. But where is he, Baltimore or Annapolis?
He's in Baltimore.
Yes, but we couldn't get you on.
He's close to Annapolis, so I think he may be Annapolis, yeah.
Right, but we couldn't get you on. So anyway, we want to apologize for that. But right now, knock wood, even though Mercury is rabidly in retrograde, like really serious, like jock itch rash in retrograde and really acting up, and a bunch of planets are misbehaving too. But anyway, we are on the air for right now, knock wood, Kenahora. And then the other thing is that we always would ask Gwendolyn for a fragrance of the week. And now that we're really, really embedded in October, midway through October, Gwendolyn, do you have a nice fragrance that will be perfect for the fall and will maybe dispel some bad juju from Mercury in retrograde?
Well, I have done something this year that I've wanted to do for a long time. I finally got myself a stock of black bottles to do it with. I made perfume out of some of my blends. And the one that I would suggest is perfume, which you can find on my limited editions on the site. It's called Parting the Veil. This is the season for it, Parting the Veil. And it's going, it, this is, it's a very, It's a Seyfried, but it's also very gourmand. It's earthy, but sweet and alluring. It has many levels. And the dry down on it is really very nice. It's kind of spicy, kind of etheric. Some of the oils, there's over 30 or 40 oils in them because it's a blending of many different. Some of the oils that have been used to create this perfume is Mysore sandalwood, not the Australian, but the regular Mysore, and rose geranium, and aged patchouli, and Bulgarian lavender, some oak moss, and honeysuckle essential, hyssop, spikenard.
My gosh.
Agar wood, coriander. It's got a lot in it. And
That's a lot of fragrances. That's a lot of ingredients.
Oh, my gosh, and that's just the top.
What is that noise in the background? Are you grinding things up right now with your mortar and pestle? What is that?
You would think so. No, I have the puppy, and he's misbehaving over there with his little toy.
Oh. It sounded like you were actually grinding herbs and essences into something, and that's funny. Well, that's great. Now, say the name once more so people, when they go to – by the way, daughtersofisis.com is all one word, folks. So go to their website while you're listening to our podcast tonight. You can go on your laptop and go right to their website. And where are they going to find that? Parting the Veil will be under your –
It's on the left-hand side under the different sections. They'll see LTD Shamanic Tools. And
Wow. These
are my limited editions for the holiday season. I've created quite a few this year. Hey, when things are going haywire in the cosmic season, you have to get creative. And that's what I
always
do to take myself out. I get very creative. So
that's what I do too. The more depressed I am, the more creative I am.
Yeah, well, the more you got to face, you know, whatever is behind the veil. And it's an interesting term. The veils are thin. And basically, if you were in an astrophysics class right now, they'd say, well, you're talking about the multi-dimensions. And if you were in a meditation, we have Friday meditations with Lisa Mowry, and she would tell you it's the multiverse. So there's many different, or the world tree. There's the overworld, the middle world, the underworld. So we're very close right now. So that's another part of what's going on in this season right now. People are penetrating different versions of themselves, let's put it that way, and seeing the past and seeing, you know, what is now in different places. I mean, it's crazy out there right now. It really is.
You're telling me. But, I want to remind people that our phone number for the show is 323-784-9639. Pull out your Crayola crayons and write down 323-784-9639. Okay, call in and join the conversation. We usually have a couple of regular call-in panelists, and you are certainly invited to be one of them. The world is certainly in upheaval and has been for several weeks now that we haven't been on. The news items come thick and fast. We thought that with the end of the last presidency, the news cycle would slow down a little bit, but it just continues to be more and more insane. And it's mostly because we still have that group of people remaining like a huge bathtub ring behind in Washington, D.C. You know, the main culprit has been sent down the drain, but it's lurking in the plumbing somewhere. But we still have a bathtub ring of, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greens and all sorts of different, you know, flimsy graham crackers and bitch McConnells. I wanted to tell you, and I didn't get a chance to before the show tonight, Gwendolyn, that I had a bunch of people on Facebook send me private messages. They say, oh, Sybil, can you please talk about this? Or, oh, Sybil, have you heard about this news item? Or, so I always write them down in case they might be something that we chat about. Now, of course, if Pamela calls in, we'll talk about food. If Kim calls in, we'll talk about gardening. You know, it depends on who calls in. If Wayne calls in, we'll talk about Well, just about anything. But people have been sending in things. So until Wayne or Kim or Pamela or and or any of them call in, I wanted to broach a couple of things with you. Have you heard about this latest victim of COVID in Texas? His name is Alan West, and he's running for I have to look it up. It's either governor, whatever. He's an African-American, middle-aged man, a pleasant-looking guy. Again, African-American. He is not only a Republican, he is a member of the Tea Party. So he's a right-wing Republican.
He's an atrocity out of Florida from years ago. I know exactly who he's an atrocity out of my state.
Wait,
for years ago.
No, really? Isn't
yeah.
that weird? The energy between Florida and Texas is shocking. It's like those two states went to girls' school together and have just remained mean girl friends in adulthood. Politicians.
He was fired from office down here. And I understand that they drummed him out of the military with just short of a court martial. He's not a nice guy. He's not nice people. He's very wicked.
He has full blown COVID. He is of course an anti-vaxxer. So he is the poster boy for everything that is wrong. He's the poster boy for it. I say this, and I'm sorry to say it. I know that I'll take heat for it. African American, Latinos, women, gays, and lesbians, any of those groups that continue to make friends with the Republican Party in this day and age are just, it's inconceivable to me that anyone could be at even the farthest liberal wing of the Republican Party. The Republican Party is so openly standing for everything that is a nightmare and anti-personal freedom and anti-liberal and anti-progressive. It's astounding to me.
I do believe Liz Cheney said that on 60 Minutes a week or two ago. And
she's not the only one. There are a couple of them, but they're still remaining within the Republican Party, I guess in the hopes that they will be the pioneers.
Well,
Liz Cheney might be hoping that she will become the Dwight Eisenhower of the Republican Party in the next 25 years, that she will somehow become a leader that leads it, and then, you know, that some number of people, but I don't know what Republicans it will be. I can't imagine any Republicans in my neighborhood.
She and Steve
Schmidt.
I would say this, though. She was on air, and I guess it was Andrea Mitchell was interviewing her, and she said, "Well, your sister is you condemned your sister. You condemned, you know, gay marriage, and had a falling out with your sister." And right there on live, you know, camera, she said, "Well, I was wrong. You know, my sister and I have talked about this and come to terms," or whatever she said. But she said, "I was wrong." And I'm like,
"Well, maybe
holy
like
crap."
That's shocking. Well, because no, you can't get any Republican to admit they're wrong or made a mistake. But it's fascinating. Like, maybe she foresees a time when she, like Moses, will lead, you know, her people out of bondage to Donald Trump, and that they will be delivered into a new land, you know, of milk and honey and rationality, a Republican Party for the 21st century, because they've wasted the first two decades. The first two decades of this century, this millennia, have been the Republican Party completely benighted. And we would have thought, I mean, we thought that George Bush, the younger, was the worst president we would live to see in our lifetimes. And Donald Trump, 4 years of Donald Trump is like drinking cyanide. I mean, it's just, and they've done it by the millions. They have done it in the millions of them have done it. And, you know, Pennsylvania, where I live in Pennsylvania, we're right near Philadelphia, but this state is tons of red energy. tons of, we have a really serious situation where we have anti-abortion laws percolating here in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
so when they show the map, they show
lots of
they show the whole
right
South.
Now.
They show, you know, the Rocky Mountains. And then suddenly there's this bastion of it in Pennsylvania where Pennsylvanians are goofing around and fooling around with a pack of matches called Close Down Roe versus Wade. What am I saying? They're talking about this past weekend.
Reversing
Roe versus Wade. Chuck Todd was talking about, and he showed a map of the United States, and Pennsylvania was one of the states that could go that way. And it was like, oh, dear God. My God, it's just incredible. So anyway, but Alan West is like one of my listeners, one of our listeners, Gwen, said, you know, Sybil, you and Gwen talk about Alan West. And, of course, look at you, as always. You came in with, you know, some poop on Alan West. He was a Floridian.
Oh, he's horrible. He is a horrible human. He really is. There's nothing redeemable about this fellow. I mean, I do not wish him harm or death. I think, though, he's done a good job of getting himself in that bucket with the COVID. But he's just a terrible human being. And he brought this guy, we've still got in office here, who's a vet, who is an amputee. His name is Brian. God, I can't think of the last name. I have not been paying attention to politics, really, for months, and it's been so refreshing and so sane. But he brought this guy in, and this guy is just as horrible as he is, only he's not as bold. He's sneaky about it. And whereas Alan West is just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know, I mean, he'll get up there and just wail at it. He has had run-ins with, news people, radio, especially left-sided radio personalities. Just an awful guy, just a really awful guy. And it doesn't surprise me that he moved to Texas and is trying to, you know, get himself back into Congress that way. He served one term.
Yeah. I've got him on the computer right now. He is full-blown COVID and has vowed to fight the vaccine from his hospital bed. So he is fighting the vaccine from his hospital bed. He's still against it. He is aggressively against it. He was in Florida's 22nd congressional district. You can Google him, folks. You can find him all right there. And this is heartbreaking. He is an Aquarius like me. Oh, that's disturbing. Well, he is.
It explains his way of his swagger in public. I mean, this guy's swaggers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He apparently was in the military. It's a whole bunch. Oh, my. He was charged with, oh, my goodness. He was charged with torturing a prisoner.
He did. Yeah, a lot of military came out against
him. And he ended up torturing a prisoner who was innocent. It goes on and on and on. It's, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. That's Alan West, folks, from Texas.
You could put it this way. He's perfect Republican material. That may sound vicious, but it's true. And we do have a caller.
Oh, okay. I think it's Wayne. Wayne might be calling in.
Yes, I think so. I open. Yes,
hello,
can
caller.
You hear me now? Yes, can you hear
me
now?
Yes, we can.
This is Wayne. Yes, absolutely. And just for a correction, I am in historic downtown Annapolis. I am downtown Annapolis.
Wow. Annapolis, the capital of Maryland. and named after, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Queen Anne. Isn't that correct?
That would be probably yes, because
Maryland
was after Queen Mary. Prince George's.
Right. Queen
County.
Anne was Mary's.
Yeah,
right, William and Mary. Anne was
the
their
English royalty what, names. Yes.
Yeah, and Queen Anne, of course, was the object of the film. What was it, 4 or 5 years ago? Which what's her name won the Oscar for? I can't think of her name, but she won for portraying Queen Anne.
Anne Boleyn, you mean?
Queen Anne,
no, that wouldn't be
not
right.
Anne Boleyn.
Yeah, that wouldn't be right. No, it wouldn't be Anne.
No. Queen Anne was the sister of William and Mary. So it was William and Mary, and then Queen Anne was Mary's sister. She was the one who became incredibly overweight, and she had, you know, an interesting reign. This is the 1600s. Into the 1700s, right. And then after her came the Georges. So George the First, Second, and Third. Anyway,
there
no, that Queen Anne is different. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you, Wayne, first of all, have you heard of Alan West?
Oh, by all means. He even ran for president on the Republican ticket during one of the primaries. And you know, he really didn't get any kind of blutifying votes, but he got funded by somebody, you know.
NRA,
something like that. I mean, he pimped himself off to whatever, you know, neo-Nazi Klansmen, you know, were feeding him money.
Isn't it shocking? It's just shocking, and but I must say, it is the most clever marketing scheme of the KKK, the NRA, the you know, the January Sixers, all of them, to go out and find willing, and I'm sorry to say it, willing step and fetch it. Black people who are willing to sell their souls, Uncle Tom's, whatever. It's like, so you, because in the old days, the KKK and the NRA would be, and the Republican Party would wash their hands of these people and say, they're not welcome here. But to actually say, no. Let's play the game. Let's invite them in. So you have, you know, you have cabinet members who are black or Republicans, you know, Ben Carson, Sleepy Ben. They make fun of Joe Biden as being sleepy. Ben Carson was like a narcoleptic. He would wander off the subject. I mean, it's like just inexcusable. And
I
these people are used as poster children. Yeah, well, except that he's apparently a brilliant surgeon. I mean, Ben Carson has done major surgical miracles.
Yeah, he was a surgeon here at Johns Hopkins, and he was one of the first to separate conjoined twins that had at the skull.
Yes.
Yeah.
A revolutionary skull surgery.
Yes,
and was, but he, and I forgot, yes, it was Johns Hopkins. That was his, because I didn't know he was at Johns Hopkins, but I forgot, of course, it's associated with Maryland. But he, it just is astounding to me that he could be that intelligent and that stupid. He's also the one who claimed that pyramids were giant hollow structures that held grain and flying saucers. Or, I mean, it was just delusional. He's just delusional.
Yes. He's a savant. Yeah.
He's an idiot savant. Exactly. He's an idiot savant.
I thought that exactly. He has very low meter on the social skills, and he was very slow on anything else. And I thought, this guy is, you know, he's got something going on there that we're not seeing all of. To be a brilliant surgeon, you know, that's amazing to me. But Alan West is just all out stupid and all out ignorant and all out nasty. He's really a wicked man. And I use the term
I would like
to real place.
I'd like to remind everyone, our listeners, that we have listeners all around the world. We have listeners in both hemispheres. We have listeners in all time zones. So right now it's 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, but it's 8 a.m. over in Vietnam right now. So we have listeners that are tuning in all around the world. And but we don't have Ben Carson because he is unable to tune in to even the real world. So he has been, clearly is not, you know, with any program right now at all that we know of. I want to invite everybody, though. Wayne just called in. I'd like you to call in 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. Texas, I know that we have listeners in Texas. They message me all the time. And so for those 8 Texans who are listeners, as opposed to the millions who are not, those 8, just know that we are warning your state as much as you Texans will listen against voting for Alan West. He is absolutely the wrong deal. I mean, it is just astounding to me that this guy is running for governor.
Boy, you know, there's a lot of liberal cowboys and cowgirls in Texas.
Yeah. Well,
and
it's the state that brought us Ann Richards.
There's a lot of gay cowboys in Texas, too.
It's the state that brought us both Ann Richards and Lyndon Johnson. So,
right.
You know, the state has brushes with genius every once in a while. And, you know, if Lyndon Johnson hadn't got bogged down in the Vietnam War swamp, he would have gone down as probably a great president. But that was his,
great,
you know, his bailiwick. That was his iceberg that he crashed into. Let's change the subject because the show is half over. People have messaged in. Oh, here's a funny little one. Here's a fun one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast? What's your preference, Wayne?
Oh, my goodness. Both ways. Breakfast is my best meal. I love it. And my wife and I, years ago, we would come home from work, and we would look at each other and said, let's make breakfast for dinner.
Uh-huh.
Eggs, sausages, right, whatever.
Bacon, English muffins, a glass of orange juice. Why not?
Yeah, well, and as a matter of fact, I can remember when I was in the southern part of France, I was with the Navy, and the captain said, you know, look, when you go ashore here and stuff, do not try to order an egg for breakfast. They would look at you like you're nuts. Eggs are a dinner meal.
Isn't that interesting?
There you go.
Well, the French do everything, don't they? I mean, they do everything dietarily. They do whatever they want because that's part of their genius.
I love French.
Gwendolyn, where do you fall on the breakfast for dinner, dinner for breakfast?
I switch back and forth. I really enjoy Eggs Benedict, which I can't see for a long while.
Yeah.
Well, I take one day a week, but it's the whole thing with the Eggs Benny is you want to get, if you're going to go someplace to eat it, make sure they have a great sauté. But the hollandaise is real important on that.
Well, if you're going to eat calories, you may as well do it right. I mean, you know, it's absolutely terrible for your diet, but it's delicious, you know. Celebrate. I'm someone who definitely, I have many times in my life, and certainly as an ex-New Yorker or a former New Yorker, I would come home and even from club nights, I would scramble some eggs, make an English muffin at 2 in the morning, and I guess you could call that,
that
breakfast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was certainly... What? I'm sorry.
I'm just kind of laughing along with you. I'm thinking, there's many times I have closed up bars and there was always some restaurant that was open that you would go and get breakfast.
The Denny's.
Oh, we go to
the Denny's run. And you,
we would
you
go
have...
to the Empire Diner. The Empire Diner right there near all the clubs. The Empire Diner is the wonderful Art Deco diner that's been in like 1,000 episodes of Law and Order and all sorts of movies. And we would run in there. And we would order eggs and bacon and English muffins and orange juice, and it would be breakfast at 1, 2, 3,
waffles.
4 in the morning, you know, and it was dinner for breakfast because it was dinner for breakfast.
Everybody, back in the day, we used to have, I think they call them clock restaurants now, but they called them Sambo's.
Yeah, Sambo's.
At the time.
Charleston, South Carolina, Sambo's, yes.
Yeah, they had to. Stop that. we used to suck because they were open 24 hours, like Dobbs House, you know. And we'd go in after the bars would close down and have breakfast and it would be, yeah, they had some wonderful, like Denny's kind of food, you know?
Yeah.
The thing I miss about living in suburbia, first of all, I'm very grateful about where I live and how I'm living, but everything is a car ride. There's no walking anymore.
Right.
Anything, because I'm in suburbia. And secondly, I mean, even if I lived in downtown Philadelphia, and as lovely as Philadelphia is, but I live on the main line. So Berwyn, Radnor, Bryn Mawr, all of those towns, Malvern, those towns at the very Westchester even. I guess they have a couple of bars that would be open, a couple of brewski houses for the college kids there. But it's not like being able to walk into any diner in like New York City, for instance, and in the funky neighborhoods of New York City. The diners competed with everyone. It wasn't that any diner was closed. It was that they were all open all the time, and they were competing. Now my favorite little cafes and stuff in suburbia are not only not open past 3 in the afternoon, they might be only breakfast and lunch. If they're open for dinner, they're closed by 10. And the ultimate is that they're closed on Sundays and Mondays. Or, believe it or not, two of my favorite little cafe places to go for breakfast and lunch are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. It's like, oh, dear God, you mean the society ladies from the mainline don't want to wander in on a Monday or a Tuesday of shopping? It's incredible. So what I miss about suburbia, living in suburbia, is that there was a time when you could come from anything and do anything at any hour on any night of the year. I include, forget New Year's Eve, that goes without saying, Thanksgiving night, Christmas Eve. You could get into a diner and grab a grilled cheese sandwich and a fabulous bowl of chicken soup or eggs benedict or whatever at any time. I miss that. I miss that comfort of like being able to roll into a diner. And I include White Castles and McDonald's along with like, you know, normal diners, like, you know, privately owned diners. But McDonald's, it was open 24 hours a day. You would romp. Now, granted, there might be a homeless person in there, you know, that you might not want to sit near. But the bottom line was you could get anything at any time. And it's just been an interesting experience to be, isolated in the house.
my younger sister was coming home from work the other night, like 7:30. And she decided that she would go through Burger King to get a chicken sandwich to have for dinner. And she went, and the lights were on and she saw people in there, but they were closed. And it's
what time did they close?
At like 6 o'clock.
No, in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, and there's a lot of traffic going on Federal there, on Dixie Federal, whatever. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Burger King closed at 6 p.m.? That's insane.
That's the big dinner hour. I mean,
it's still
quintessential dinner hour.
It's staffing.
It's the staffing issue. Yeah, it's the staffing issue. That's partly it, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
Okay, well, we've covered that. So, folks at home, you're dealing with three people here that like breakfast for dinner and dinner for breakfast, and we swing both ways.
That's good.
We swing both ways. Dear Sybil, trick-or-treating. Let's ask Wayne and Gwendolyn this question. Sybil Brunson, are you going trick-or-treating this year? And if not, are you welcoming trick-or-treaters to your house this year? My neighborhood, though strollable, my neighborhood is a wonderful little development. I don't live inside a town. I live on the outskirts of a town in a development. Yes, there could be lots of strolling trick-or-treaters. I did buy a pumpkin today. I bought a small pumpkin and carved it for the cute little 3-year-old next door. His name is Jordan. And I carved a pumpkin for him, and he was delirious. That and a pack of M&Ms, that's the closest to a child orgasm I've ever seen. He was literally in his driveway jumping up and down at the sight of his own pumpkin and his own bag of little M&Ms. So that gave me immense pleasure. And he's been helping me with my gardening, which is another subject for another time. His parents have just taken great delight in having Jordan come and help me with my garden.
Of course.
So
great.
So I pay him. I pay him in M&Ms, and that's how we do it. It's
cool.
Like, oh, it's totally cool. You know, take that, Republicans. You think mommy doesn't understand capitalism? I understand fucking capitalism, you shit eaters. You know, it's M&Ms for this child. He's wonderful. He's the most wonderful little boy in the world. Anyway, back to this trick-or-treating. I'm going to put together a trick-or-treat bowl with treats in it this year, because I think that after last year when no one was anywhere, I think we might have some loosening up of people wanting to come and trick-or-treat.
Yes.
And I'm going to carve pumpkins and light them. And yeah, as far as going trick-or-treating, I would like to trick-or-treat. Unfortunately, as you know, I'm married, and my husband would take a very dim view of that. But if I were single, I can assure you that I would be very much like Tootie in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis, and I would definitely be like Agnes and Tootie. I would dress as a dead ghost or an old rotting hobo or something, and then I would indeed go around my neighborhood, even at my age, and set fire to things and break furniture. So yeah, at my age, I can't eat candy because I have to watch my diet, but I certainly would participate in what I consider to be all the fun things of Halloween, which is to ransack people's front porches, burn furniture, break things, and throw flour in Mr. Brockelman's face, or whatever that was, where he goes up to the door and she knocks on the door, and then he answers, goes, "Well," and she throws a handful of wet flour in his face, and then says, "I hate you, Mr. Brockelman," and then runs off, and you know, so that would be me. I am definitely of that, and you know, if I'm ever single again, God forbid, I will return to my trick-or-treating hooliganism. As to that, how about you two? Gwendolyn, you first. What are you doing this year?
Well, I traditionally, my tradition is to, yes, we will have treats for children that come to the door, and my sister, she does it all up, all the decorations and everything.
Mm.
But we are traditional. We do a little ceremony to remember our ancestors, as in Day of the Dead. We set a place at the table for them to come and join us. And we invite them to travel to us in our dreams or, you know, just pop in for a little advice and wisdom that they might give us for the coming year.
Nice.
It's a
very
cross-quarter day. It's a cross-quarter day. It's Samhain.
I just want to ask before I go to Wayne, if you were to dress yourself up and go trick-or-treating, Gwendolyn, for instance, with Mummy, so that we could burn furniture in a bonfire in the middle of town and stuff, what would your costume be? Would you dress as something other than a witch?
And Bonnie. Our matey, hoist your colors and draw your steel. I go as a pirate.
Pirate.
In fact, I have.
Wonderful.
As an
Wonderful.
Adult. Sort of a natural thing.
I'm tempted to go out on Halloween during the day before sunset, disguised as a man. Just as a man, and wander around and see if anyone recognizes me. But that's another subject for another time. Wayne.
We do have another caller.
All right. Well, let's welcome them in. But I want to hear what Wayne would do. What Wayne is going to do with his trick-or-treating or Halloween this year. So welcome, caller. Who's the caller?
I opened the mic.
Hello. Am I on?
You are on.
Well, hello, darlings. It's Stephen Roussos and Tiger Sherman from Erlanger, Kentucky, just outside Cincinnati, Ohio. How are you loving
it? Oh, that's
tonight?
Wonderful. How good, Stephen. We're talking with Wayne right now. We're all talking about what we're planning on doing on Halloween night. So one second, I'll get to you. Wayne, what are you planning? First of all, if you were to go trick-or-treating or are going trick-or-treating, are you going trick-or-treating with children or anything?
Well,
I
love the or anything.
I have a twin grandson.
I don't have a niece or a nephew anymore, but I am going to take a small poodle trick-or-treating. Yeah.
Well, in my case, I do have a twin four-year-old grandsons and their baby sister who is two. And so my daughter has bought them a Toy Story. I've got a Buzz Lightyear, I got a Woody the Cowboy, and I have Yeehaw Jessie as the girl.
And what are you going to be?
The costumes are theater quality. They're great.
Oh, wow.
Are you going to be dressed up too?
I normally haven't been in the past, but I might. But if it did, it'd be like a 1950s greaser because I've got the jeans and the white socks and the leather jacket and that kind of shit. So.
And the DA haircut? You've got the DA haircut too?
I'll just do some grill cream or something and flick it back.
Grill cream.
Okay.
So Halloween 2 here is I am in a condo and we have a locked door in the units, and I'm on the third floor and have a gay couple that are next door to me here. Fantastic guys. They always decorate, like I've got pumpkins out there already, like three of them, and they're carved, and it's just beautiful. One of the guys there, he's a school teacher. He teaches Spanish, but he also teaches theater. And then when he's not teaching it, and then he's participating in community theater here in Annapolis, where it's a total running theater that's going with the cast and everything. So we have that kind of the artistic aspect of Halloween here just on my floor alone.
So, Wayne, you're going to go out trick-or-treating with the kids, or you're going to stay home and give candy to people?
Well, that's just it. See, there's only one two-year-old boy in the condo here, and so it's not like they can come up and knock. Right.
I see.
And then come in and trick or treat, right? Because, like I said, it is gated type of thing.
Right. Okay.
But I will be going out with my grandchildren and living vicariously through them.
It is wonderful. Stephen, on Halloween, you're in suburbia too, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And what do you plan? Do you have like a lot of kids that are walkable within your house where you live?
Unfortunately, no. The street I live on is just kind of a spur. It's a dead-end street. There's only one next to it in mostly business.
That's even better.
Area.
Oh, my God. That's
tremendously
spooky.
It is spooky, but I never see – there's a few kids that live on the street. I rarely – I guess the parents, if they take them – trick-or-treating, they go to other areas, suburbia where there's lots and lots of houses. It's just not worth it.
So no one ever knocks on your door or anything?
Not the last, 10 years, actually. I buy candy, knowing full well I'm probably going to eat all of it. And I just throw it away so I don't put on the weight.
Could I make a suggestion? Instead of buying candy, why don't you buy liver treats for you and Sherman and any stray animals that come up? Meow, meow, meow mix. You could hand out handfuls of meow mix because Sherman is such a beauty.
I'll give out Halloween treats for the squirrels, raccoons, blue jays, and possums that I get visiting regularly. Yes. Now, if I was to go trick-or-treating, I haven't for a while, I might do something conceptual this year. Like, I just thought of going as The Void, which would entail like a total black from head to toe, get like something over my head that's black but I can see out of it, but that has, sparkles and galaxies on it. I think
that's interesting.
Lovely.
Now, I like that.
Yeah.
I always liked Kabuki theater and no theater, and I always thought it would be interesting that had I taken small children out trick-or-treating, it would be interesting to dress in total black, like complete black my face completely in my hand, and then be a background thing that people, innocent people who answered their doors would not see. And so the children that I would be, one would be Casper the Friendly Ghost and one would be Snow White. Those Lane drugstores, costumes that are like pajamas of Seth, highly flammable satin with glitter on them.
Yes.
And then with the plastic mask that was always crushed and everything. And so they would go up as Casper. And then suddenly this weird black hole that was like, you know, 5'11" behind the child would lunge out, and they wouldn't really know what it was because it was all black, but it might be holding like a small hatchet or something, you know,
it
and it would
be
like a moment in
terrifying.
Kabuki theater. It was just, yeah, I love those characters in Kabuki theater where the
right.
prop people had to be in the background and they would be all in black and would be sort of vanish in the background, but not really. That would be interesting. I'll tell you right now, Stephen, if I lived on your cul-de-sac, not that anyone, well, for instance, we live on a court here. So we live on this cute little circular court. But I am surrounded by Asian families and Indian, and then there's a Korean family. I don't think anyone around me would get it if I turned my front porch into Boo Radley's house from To Kill a Mockingbird. But I think it would be fun to have to dress up one's home like Boo Radley's house in To Kill a Mockingbird, and then to sit on the front porch in a rocking chair dressed like, you know, Robert Duvall, and, you know, I'd have to peroxide my hair and draw circles, and, well, the circles under my eyes, they're already there, but, you know, bleach my hair again, and I could be Boo Radley. That could be fabulous fun. That would,
there you go.
That would be. But let me get my topic out. It's the reason, which is the reason I called. I'll start by turning it into a response about Halloween costumes. Another idea at the top of the news might be to go, I don't know how you would do this, but might be to go as William Shatner in space. terrified William Shatner coming out of a rocket or something. But so I was just curious. I know it's not your typical Uber. That's the other reason I called. How do you pronounce that word?
Uber.
Okay.
You almost have to vomit. So much of French is actually gagging a little bit, you know? It's like, to
right.
pronounce
yeah,
it correctly,
exactly.
you have to almost
you
have a
gag
reflex.
While you say it. Yes. So anyway, so two sort of related questions for Sybil. Do you have any thoughts or comments about the whole thing? And I think it's marvelous that he's doing. Basically, SpaceX asked him to do it, and it's a wonderful promo thing, and it's a great thing for all of us, you know, sci-fi and Trek fans, to see him finally get to do it. You know, Godspeed, and I hope he makes it and comes back safe without having a heart attack. That's just, I hope he says something Star Trek-y while up there. That would be just so wonderful. But
it is kind
of
amazing.
Do you have any thoughts or comments about the whole thing? And Gwendolyn, that made me wonder, do you have or you ever thought of, and if you did, what would you put in a fragrance that represented, like, you know, space, out, as in outer space? Is that a fragrance you've ever done? And what would you do with your armamentarium of thousands of possibilities? What might you do with that? So,
well, you know
what,
there is,
yeah, go ahead.
The Egyptians thought a lot of the cosmos and fragrances.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they top-noted it with lotus, of course. They took it out of the water. But the main, it's just really strange, but it's really true. It's a tree blood. The main scent that they would affix to the stars was myrrh.
That's what I'm thinking of. A scent popped to mind, and I couldn't think of what it was, and I do know what myrrh smells like. And you're right, for some reason, it's just very expansive. It always makes me think of, you know, things like cosmic things. I don't know why.
Well, if you blend myrrh with a little bit of armoire or mugwort and just a drop or two of a rose auto or a Damascus rose, that's a real high-frequency, spacey scent.
Right. Well, think about adding such a scent and developing one. I think
I actually have one. It's the Egyptian It's the Egyptian goddess Nut, the night sky.
Oh, awesome. I should have checked. Well, I will look into that. That sounds great. How exciting. Lovely.
Thanks for asking.
Let's address Stephen's question, though, about William Shatner going into outer space. Is he doing an Elon Musk? Is he doing the Elon Musk, or what is he doing?
No, it's not. Elon Musk is a different thing. I forget what his whole venture is called.
Is he doing
he's doing SpaceX. Now, SpaceX, they are the real deal. Elon Musk, he wants to do tourism just like the guy from Virgin Records. I forget his name. They're, like, kind of gimmicky, but they're meant for rich people to go up and pop up in space for 1 minute.
Who's producing SpaceX?
Isn't that a remnant of NASA?
No. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. Elon Musk. No, that is Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, I don't
so
know
he's
going to
spend. So he's going to spend money because he's a millionaire. So he's going to pay for a flight to go up with, you know, other millionaires or whatever.
I
or maybe they're going to give it to him for free.
They asked him.
William Shatner is – this is a complimentary ride for
him.
Right.
And, of course, it's also a great marketing aspect because who but William Shatner do we associate from our childhood on with space and exploring space and exploring the great frontier, which is space, other than William Shatner / Captain Kirk.
Well, I'm so old that I associate Michael Rennie with it and Klaatu Barada Nictu, but that's a whole different time because I actually dated – I actually dated Klaatu in high school, and he was very sexy. One eye, and you didn't stare into it for long, but still, I mean, he was sexy as hell. I mean, the solid stainless steel, all 12 feet of him. But anyway, back to your right, William Shatner, and I'll bet you any money that Elon Musk, being that, you know, he's such a shrewd businessman, he's probably selling all the other seats on the rocket for, like, twice their normal value because you're sitting beside William Shatner. Yeah.
No, actually, I'm confused now because, Wayne, maybe you know this. There's three millionaires. There's Branson with Virgin Records.
And
there's
the guy who owns
Bezos.
Bezos.
There's Bezos that has his penis-shaped rocket.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I think – is it his that Shatner is going on or is it space – now, SpaceX recently did one where they were actually in orbit for, like, a couple of days. That was – SpaceX is the real rocket company. They do missions to the – they do freight and now people up to the station. They're for real. So is he with – is he – what? Who's the third one?
He's – well, Bezos. But Shatner is going to space aboard Blue Origin. Look at Mummy. Uh-huh. She's so good. And I'm taking the opportunity to see it. He's looking incredible. The plastic surgery he's gotten recently has been outstanding because he's 900 years old. So they got rid of a lot of the puffiness. He is going on. Oh, Shatner will be making history as the oldest man to fly in space, surpassing Mr. Funk, 82, who flew with Bezos on Blue Origin flight. He is flying, I guess, with Bezos because Blue Origin Bezos.
So William Shatner going into space on a giant penis rocket. Couldn't get better than that.
Which is perfect for him. You know,
into your dialogue however you want to.
Well, it's
perfect
for him because
given all the space bimbos he bonked.
Yeah, and the fact that he was on not L.A. Law. What wasn't the practice? What was the one he was on?
Yes,
Boston Legal.
Boston Legal.
Boston Legal.
I watched that again. That was such a good show.
As Danny.
That was great. That was a good character.
Yeah.
It was indeed. Listen,
Danny Craig.
Danny Craig, a brilliant character, and what a brilliant use of him, and indeed of everybody. Quick thing, we're down to the final minutes of the show.
Wonderful. I have to make a correction. I told you it was November 5th that Mercury went to direct. It's October 18th. I am so sorry. And give it to
you. Oh, so it's just in a few days.
Give it an umbrella of a couple of weeks to clear completely off, but it goes direct on the 18th.
Great. That's good to know. So we only have about six more days
of insanity. Well,
it's a full
week. Today's the 11th. So it'll be a week from today.
That's fabulous. And we will. And speaking of a week from today, thank you, Wayne. That's a funny coincidence. We are here, listeners, for those of you that forget or have never seen or heard our show before, we are here every Monday night. You can find our link on Facebook. Just click on the link. And we are part of, first of all, this is Come Now, Don't Sulk. And we are always on Blog Talk Radio Network. We are part of the Here Be Monsters studio. We are 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And that's 7 Central or your corresponding time zone, depending on where you are. So please join us, and we encourage people from all around the world to join us and even to call in. So we have been brought to you by the daughtersofisis.com. That's all one word, daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. Thank you. Our show is pretty much a carte blanche. We talk about everything and anything. So Stephen has called in before, and we've talked about magnolias and gardenias and gardening, and Kim Young calls in, and we talk about her brilliant genius gardening out in the Midwest, and we talk with Wayne about, well, just about everything, including political history, which we love, and American history. And so it's open to the world. We talk about everything, and even when we select a subject to start on, we often change the subject. So it's kind of like Thanksgiving with your family, isn't it? You sit down with a group of people and start chatting, and you wander around, you know, on all the subjects. We want to remind you that you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Look for the daughtersofisis.com page on Facebook, and you can find me at SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com, and it's SybilBrunchen.com, and also on my YouTube channel. And I want to invite all of you, because all our listeners, our panel tonight, are members of the Lollipop Guild, and that is on Facebook, and that's called the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild, which is a non-denominational and non-political page where we just share laughter and fun and gossip and everything that's innocent. People post recipes and pictures of their kittens and just everything. So, and yeah. Halloween is a great time for us. So we're all posting fun Halloween stuff right now too. So look for that, the Sybil Brunchen Lollipop Guild. Gentlemen, we literally are down to the last minutes. You want to say a final farewell to everyone? Stephen, you're our new guest tonight. Anything you want to sign off with?
Just lovely comments. Thank you for your tip about your night sky fragrance, Gwendolyn and Sybil. I'm in debt to you for making sure, and thanks to you for Eve. I never know how to say that. Now I know. I'll never be embarrassed.
Let's all try. Wayne, you try it right
again.
Now. Yeah, okay. Wayne, you want to sign off quickly?
I was going to say, this is a fantastic show. I love the format. I will see you next week. This is great.
Okay. And Pamela, if you're listening, and Kim, if you're listening, call in, you two bitches. Call in. We were waiting for some – we wanted some estrogen on the show tonight, you know, other than Gwendolyn and I. And, of course, Stephen when he's in a snit. And then last but not least – which is once a month, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Gwendolyn, do you want to sign off with anything?
I'm good to go, darling. Good to go.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, there's a lady who's going to go find a piece of whiskey as soon as we sign off. Everybody, we love you so much.
Bye.
You've been listening
sisters.
To Come Now, Don't Sulk. Here be Monster Studio. Come Now, Don't Sulk. Gwendolyn and I say thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful night, and we'll see you next Monday night right here on Come Now, Don't Sulk. Good night, everybody.
Good night.